Hello.
Hi there, is it possible if I could please speak with Alexis? I do believe you do like to be known as Lexi.
Yeah, speaking of her.
Hi darling, my name's Billy. I'm one of the advisors here at MMA Legal regarding the Scottish redress claim. I've been dealing with your sister on her behalf of her process. We have a password for her on the account. We've actually got a password as Glencoe for your sister. Would you be happy for me to keep the password as the same for yourself as well?
Well, I was going to say, because we were all in like different homes and different things, so I don't know if it would be easier to do like it individually or what, because we weren't all together.
It will be done individually anyway. This is just in regards to basically a password for you, so it doesn't need to be Glencoe. It could be any word that's memorable to you. It's just if anybody gives you a call and they try offering you a bit of money, say £1,000, I'm really looking at £100,000. I don't want you to be tricked into accepting it. So if there's any word that's memorable to you, I can pop as a password for you. What word would that be?
Rex.
Rex. Is that R-E-X?
Yeah.
Perfect. No problem whatsoever. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run over brief pieces of information with you. I just need to ask you, of course, you've got the same siblings and things like that as your sister, so I can copy that over for you. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Was you actually placed into the same care home as Dreghorn the same time as sister, or was you placed somewhere else prior to that?
No, I was put in there as well.
You were put there as well? Did you then go to Margaret and Gordon after the same with sister as well?
Isabel and Brian first, and then Margaret and Gordon.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take your personal information. I understand we've done it with sister and I can cross-reference her things, but I'm just going to do it as if I've not had a conversation with sister to make sure I can get everything from your side put onto here for you. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah.
Perfect. So can I just start off by asking you for your home postcode where you're living at the moment, please?
Yeah, it's CA288 Delta Sierra.
Yeah, and is that Scaffold Close in Whitehaven?
Yeah, number 11.
11, perfect. Now, I did explain to your sister that the claim process, it'd be wrong for us to give you a direct time frame. You'd be paid out in 6 weeks' time, but we have to tell you 12 months just to be on the safe side. And most important, in regards to yourself, it wouldn't be the case where we'd accept anything less than you're entitled to. Now, there's no cap on the payments whatsoever. You're about $100,000, $300,000. But for me to give you a direct value, it would be totally wrong for me to do that up until we've got some sort of response in your paperwork. Now, what we can tell you, so we're not giving any false information, is that the average claim at the moment is averaging 48 now. That's what we can be confident to give you a number on. But like I said, you can come out with double that, you can come out with triple that, and we won't accept anything less than what you qualify for.
Yeah.
Now, I do need to ask you, have you ever been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses or anything like that at all, darling?
No, I've got bad mental health because of it, but not terminal illnesses.
And the only reason he asked that is just because we can put it on a time frame for you just so we can get it paid out before obviously the time is up. But just to be on the safe side, if anything was to happen to you with this claim ongoing, is there anybody within your family or sisters, partner, anybody that you would be happy for this claim to go to on your behalf so you know that you've got some sort of justice there?
Yeah, it would be my sister Laura, yeah.
So you sister, brilliant, not a problem there, that's perfectly fine. And could I please ask you, darling, for your date of birth, please?
Yeah, it's 5th of the 2nd, 94.
And the best email address for you, please?
It's lexiprowse, LexiProwse, @gmail.com. Oh, little girl, that was good.
Mm-hmm. And you want sister as your beneficiary, not a problem there whatsoever, darling. So if I am correct, when you went to Dreghorn, I'm assuming you went there at the same time as sister, so I know the year that you went there,
yeah,
would have been
four,
around 1998, and you was four years of age. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get your statement on Dreghorn to begin with, and then from that I can move on onto the other parts. I just want to make, because we won't just file it against the one place, we'll go against everywhere where you feel like you've been mistreated, felt any neglect, and we'll make sure we value it properly. So I'm just going to go off the Dreghorn situation at the moment. I can imagine, of course, on arrival, you was very young. Can I ask you, do you remember being quite scared and emotional?
To be honest, I don't really remember very much. Obviously, I was only four. But I do remember, like, being told that I'd be going back to my parents, and I never did. And, I've actually had all my paperwork from Scotland I got them a couple of years ago, and like when I was going through it, he just basically said I was very reformed, and like I didn't really want to go out and do anything because I wanted to, I always wanted to be like with a member of staff type thing, because obviously I was still a baby really.
Well, just in regards to that as well, there'd be some pieces of paperwork that they wouldn't have provided that to you because they've been very reluctant to do so and held off on it.
Yeah, quite a lot of it's been redacted as well. You can see like when the photocopied it and it's been redacted.
Well, we will always give you an option to get a copy of them back, so do not worry. We will get provided with them, so we approach all local authorities and approach everywhere, and we will make sure we get a copy of them. Can I ask you, when you was at DragCon, do you remember being spoken to quite abruptly from any of the staff or anything, or being quite secluded?
I can remember, but more so now that I'm older, like, they used to, like, tell us about the way we speak. Obviously, we come from a travelling background, and I only realise this now because we obviously used to speak in the cant, which is our own language, and they used to, like, tell us, like, they go, like, water, mattress, and, like, kind of, like, undermine the way we speak so that we didn't speak, like, in the, like, do you know what I mean? So we couldn't, like, talk in the cant around them. But other than that, I don't really remember very much.
Don't worry. I'm just getting down here, obviously, with you being very young and things like that, there is certain vague memories which have still impacted and stuck to you, and that way you do know that it is, that has still affected you till this day. Let me go.
Yeah, I've just been diagnosed with complex PTSD.
Get that on here for you. Because not only that, like I say, with your sister being in there with you, there'd be some things that she would be aware of happening and things like that. And most importantly, it's not nice for her to be an elder sibling having to watch you go through this or be treated in certain kind of ways. And that's why I reassure you will go ahead and get you the justice that you deserve, because everyone's cases are individually different. Doesn't mean that someone should get more than the other. And that's why we wouldn't accept anything less. Now, I did explain to your sister, you might get a call off Scottish Redress over the next few weeks offering you £1,000 or something like that up front. Because they'll know that you're going through with the claim procedure. But if there's anything you are unsure of, you will have me there on WhatsApp to track your claims at any time with me, and then that way what we can do is I can update this case for you at any time, and if there's anything that you need from me, even if it's just a chat, I'm not a therapist, but I'm more than happy to sit there and have a conversation with you just to make things a bit easier for you. Use me to your advantage and I will be here for you at the whole time. You said earlier you have been diagnosed with PTSD and anxiety and things like that. Let me just and this impacted my mental health, young.
Yeah, I don't remember a time where I've not been depressed, to be honest with you.
And the people don't realise it's not just the impact that it's had on them, it's the impact that it's had on them now. And again, I was saying to your sister, like, the way she was explaining, obviously, her relationship that she has with her children and things like that. And I said, she'll be very, very proud of herself, because some people will go down the opposite route and rebel. And you can't blame them for that, because they've known no
I did. I ended up on, like, addicted to drugs in 2015. And I basically just got left here. I was, like, we won't get into it, like, further down the line, but I was still part of child services when I moved to Whitehaven, and basically they just left me here.
See, even still, up until you're 18 years of age, we can claim for everything that they've impacted you up until that age of, so I will make sure that I get this strapped down for you.
Yeah.
Let me just get that on here. When you said that you moved on from DragCon Children's Home, did you then go to Margaret and Gordon with sister?
No, we went to Isabel and Brian first. And then Brian died.
Was you happy at Isabel and Brian's house? I remember sister saying that her dad was kind of like, she felt very safe. So the only reason I cut that out is because we won't file against them, just because they've been nice to the places where we report against. So the next case from there, would that have been Margaret and Gordon, where you felt like you've been a little bit mistreated there or neglected there as well?
Oh, massively. I actually stayed with them the longest, and they ended up getting shook off because of me. Because they just kicked me out when I was like 11. And they said that I've called her a bitch, but I, this is so stupid, right? I used to alter serve in church until I was 12. I was very completely different from what I am now, anyway. I wouldn't have called anybody a bitch, to be fair. And I went to school one day and I just got a phone call saying that my social worker, Kate Simmons, was picking me up. And I just kind of knew. And then I sat in a social work department till about 9 o'clock at night till they could find somewhere for me to go, because there was nowhere for me to go. And then they ended up getting struck off because they just didn't turn up to the, like, you know, like the breakdown of placement meetings. They just didn't turn up to them. That's what I'm aware of anyway. They just didn't turn up.
Sorry to hear that. Can I ask you, while she was here, if you feel like you were separated, not separated, quite secluded and kind of left out here?
Yeah, literally, I can remember one time, obviously, when my sisters left, I was 10, and they'd asked me if we wanted to leave now. I just wanted to be a part of a family. I didn't want to get put back into a care home, so I said I would stay. But I honestly don't think that's a decision that a 10-year-old should have even been given in the first place. I think with the placement breaking down and my sister, that me and my brother should have been removed. And then my brother left about 6 months later and I stayed. And I can remember, like, it was Mother's Day and we'd been to church and I had some pocket money and I went into the Morrisons to get her some flowers and then she just, like, kicked off and I had to stay in my room all night because of that. Like, we weren't allowed in the front room because it was adults' room. Like, they were horrible. Like, they were absolutely horrible, to be honest with you. But he used to work in Curl Loss, which doesn't really surprise me.
Had so many places about there as well. Curl Loss, the children's home.
Yeah, the young offenders, he used to work in there, so it doesn't surprise me that he was a horrible man. My brother got, like, badly abused by him. Like, he used to make him sleep on the mattress on the floor and stuff because he peed himself quite a bit. And obviously, with my dad being a paedophile, they used to say stuff to him about him being that because my dad was and stuff like that.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But, like, while I was there, I kind of got used as a guinea pig as well for respite carers. So because I was classed as, an easy childcare, like, an easy young person in care, they used to send me to, like, new respite carers who maybe wanted to be foster carers, and I'd go with them to see what, if they liked it or not. So they're just kind of, like, use me as a guinea pig type thing. And one of the people were absolutely vile. they were horrible. I think they had a foster child as well, and then I can remember once I'd left Margaret Gardens and I was in big school, she was in big school and she ended up hitting me because they took her off the foster parents because they were disgusting.
And that's not your issue either, though.
No.
So I don't understand why people would feel like they can single you out and do things like that to you. That's not acceptable again there anyway.
No.
And again, you've not had anybody give you, like, for an example, what you've had to go through at home and things like that. You've not had anybody give you the correct curriculum or sit down and let you know that everything's going to be okay and make sure that you're all right moving forward. And that's not acceptable. Again, you've not had any sort of authority here throughout of your life for anyone to say they shouldn't be treated like this or they shouldn't be spoken to like this and this is right and wrong. You've been passed through places here where you built your trust up with them and they've slowly let it down. And I'm sorry to realise that you have to go free with that. Can I ask you, when you was at Margaret and Gordon's here, did they ever call you any nasty names or anything like that?
All the time. Like, literally all the time. Like, and they used to make me, like, go to the chip shop for the chip trade, which is down the road. But then I wasn't allowed to cross the road to the park on my own, right? But I was allowed to go, like, into the town to get them fish and chips. But I wasn't allowed to cross the park on my own. And the ones found out that I crossed the park and I got grounded and I wasn't allowed to go out of the house and that. They basically treated me like a baby, to be honest. They even tried to make me change faith. Obviously, I did say I altar served in church and I'm, like, Christian, but I was baptised Protestant and they tried to convert me to Catholic. Like, when I'd go and see my sisters and brothers and they would smoke, they would kick off the fact that my clothes would smell and then they would say to me that I had to go into the meetings and say that I didn't want my sisters and brother and my dad and my mum to smoke around me. like, they just say it was me. But it was them.
Did they ever put their hand on you or restrain you in any way, shape or form?
Not that I can remember, no. It was just emotional.
You're not worried?
No, I don't remember, no. I like to grab me by my wrist once. Just that was when we were in the... That was the time when it was, I went into the shop to get some presents. I can just remember I flinging, like, what, it was like an old car, and I put the lock down, because obviously I was sitting in the car, she was in there, and I went to get some flowers, and I put the lock down on the car, so that obviously so nobody would break into the car. And then when I got back to the car, I was like, oh shit, I've locked the door. So I went in to find her, and I remember I standing in the bread aisles, got in the basket down, and like grabbed me by the arm and just went mental. But like, I was trying to do something nice, but it was never seen like that. They didn't want us, they wanted the money. They got an 8-bedroom fucking, sorry to swear, I'm quite a bit, don't mean to
apologize. You just took the words out of my mouth. In the most professional way, could say it to you, what they would do back then, it was a money-making scheme. So for an example,
yeah.
You would have been a nice child and things like that. They wouldn't have really got much from you because they would have been able to pass you to tell as opposed to move you on and help you with your correct curriculums. If you're going to be such a kind of unresponsive child and also act out or rebel and things like that, that's a thing for them to class you as a naughty child and keep you within that system. And they would then get making money off you weekly. And I'm sorry that you have had to be a victim of that. Not only that, also sit there and watch your siblings have to go through that. Like you say, watching your little brother in certain people's situations.
No, like my big brother, like, my older brother, and like, I feel bad because he like stayed for the extra 6 months because he said that, he didn't want to leave me, and it's something that, like, he struggles with still now, because he says, like, he always says now, like, I broke the promise to you, I promised I would never leave you, and I left you, but, like, he had to deal with his own self, and I just didn't want to go into care, like, I just didn't want to go back into care home.
Most definitely, and obviously, like you say, there's things there that you've been worried about and threatened by, and of course, like you say, your siblings are obviously worried as well, but what are you supposed to do back then? You have to think of yourselves as your only children. And, of course, you'd have done the best things that you possibly could for you back then.
Yeah, now, I generally feel like it wasn't my decision to make whether or not I stayed with them. I should have been taken off them. Like, if my sisters and my brother, the placement had fell so massively, like, by 3 other children, why would they just leave me there? I feel, honestly, I just feel like not ever, they couldn't be bothered with us. As soon as we were all, like, seeing some care, like, I can remember, like, being at panels and it'd be like, oh, the Prowseys, like, as if it was, like, a big thing, like... Like, we were burdened, really. They couldn't wait to get rid of us.
Imrik, so what I've just done is I've just popped that down here, but most importantly, what I have done as well is I've explained how the impact it still had on you now, because even just conversating with you till this day, I understand it is something that has still impacted you then, and it has still definitely impacted you now. Can I ask you, how long was you with Margaret and Gordon for, if you remember?
I was there till 2004. I was there for, so I was there till I was 11. I went when I was 8. So I was there like 3 years.
So 2004. Sorry to hear that. And then after her, darling, where did they move you on to?
Seton Terrace. Yeah. In Irvine.
And was that somewhere you was happy to be, or is that again not somewhere where you?
No, I ended up getting sexual abuse by another young person's dad.
Sorry to hear that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to... Was that a foster family where they positioned you, darling?
No, it was a children's home, but, like, one of the girls, Jackie, who lived there, me and I had a volatile relationship, really. She wasn't a very nice person.
Well, was she a foster or another child?
No, she was another child. And we had, like, when that was my first fight. She, like, tried to attack me and stuff like that. But then it was Christmas Day, and obviously I'd never, ever spent a day with my parents overnight since I was 4. So I was the only one left in the home on Christmas Day. And a member of staff, who was also called Jackie Hume, had said, why don't I go over with Jackie on Christmas Day while they make Christmas dinner? Just, I think she was trying to be nice, to be honest. Would you, like, maybe give me a thing? But it didn't work out like that. He tried to, like, then started, like, grooming me, tried to touch me up on the living room floor, on him, his things floor. I did try and get him done for it, but then I moved here and I just didn't want any more any reminders of it. But then he like started messaging me, like putting fivers underneath my door and stuff when he come to see Jackie. And then another young person who lives there, Lee, another girl, she had my phone one day and he asked me what colour knickers and that I had on, and she told him a bit of stuff.
I'm just going to get, what was the place, darling, called, where he was, where you was there, and what was the name of that
Seaton
care
Terrace
home? Could you spell that the
Seaton
best way you can?
S-E-A-T-O-N.
Yep.
Yeah, Seaton Terrace, and that was in Irvine.
Perfect. Let me just get that down here for you. And if I am correct, it's around 2004 when you was in here, roughly.
Yeah, 2004 to 2008.
And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go straight up to the statement, because you don't allow me to put the statement in until I've got the church in place. So I'm just going to get, because you're about 11 years old when you arrived here.
Yeah.
Let me just get that down here for you. And did any of your still siblings end up here with you, darling?
My brother was already in there when I moved in. That's kind of why they put me there. But then they ended up moving him out because he was a bit of a dick to me at that point. He used to tell me that there was like prowlers and stuff like that, knock on my window and try and freak me out.
Again, siblings will be siblings, won't they? And boys will be boys again.
yeah.
I'll just get one here for you. And can I ask you, so before we get into the situation, obviously with what you just said to me, I've just got that noted down. Before that, did anyone settle you in again or give you any empathy or anything like that?
Not really. I was restrained multiple times in there. Like, I completely changed person, like literally from night and day, from a very nice little girl who was brilliant in school, all of a sudden to a little twat, to be honest with you, running away, sneaking out, drinking, taking drugs, fighting. Like, it was right in the middle of like a scheme where there was two different young teams who used to like meet outside of our house and fight with machetes and knives. I seen somebody get the lip bit off, ear bit off, axed. But I wasn't a very nice person myself then, to be honest with you. Like, I can admit I was honourable.
Can I also ask you here, when they would restrain you, would it be things like to sit on you and take your breath away or bend your arms, legs up your back or anything like that at all?
No, I've been restrained once by two men and a woman. Jackie sat on my back because I punched a hole in the wall. But then I got, like, she sat on my back, two lads restrained me. That happens all the time. We were always restrained, to be honest, constantly. But then I got my money docked and stuff and my telly out my room because I bit one of them.
I'm not ignoring you. I'm getting all of this type down.
I know.
Did they provide you food and things like that here, darling? Or did they hold
it against you? They gave us food and that, yeah, but like you had to be in at a certain time or they shut the kitchen and you weren't allowed now. If you weren't in by 10 o'clock, the kitchen was shut. But like sometimes we weren't in at the right time or whatever, and we weren't allowed no food. Like Margaret and Gordon kind of restricted my food as well. Like I ended up with an eating disorder when I went into Seaton Terrace. I just didn't eat. I ended up really skinny, and they said they would get a doctor to speak to me and that. To be honest with you, I was too clever for my own good. I just told them everything I wanted to hear. And they said, oh, she's just a young lass who's just got a busy lifestyle, really. And
again,
still got, like,
That's their job to then turn around and say, no, it's not. This child's not eating. She's got a few issues here. We need to get her sorted and get her looked at. That's what adults
do. Yeah, they just said I was a bad child, really.
It's unfortunate that they've had to say that. And that's what they would say about everyone. And really, you're not bad children. Yeah. You're bad parenting. And the way you would look after you and things like that. Could I also ask you, whilst you was in this care home, darling, before we go into, obviously, the activities that would happen without it, can I ask you, did they ever use any force against you with, like, belts or anything like that? Or locked in your cupboard or locked in your bedroom?
I've been put in my bedroom before, but never locked. I once took the lock off my door because I kept locking it. Like, one of them had a snib when I first moved in there. I had, like, an old-fashioned lock. and like I snipped it so that they couldn't get in, so they ended up taking the lock off. But while I was there, like, it was only a 4-bedroom home, but then sometimes there was like 6 kids in, some people were sleeping in like the office, so there's like in the living room, people had to make a bed in the living room, so then that's kind of uncomfortable, like the amount of like sexual stuff kind of happened there is horrible, like even from other young people, but like I don't even like hold it against them because like they were all fucked up.
And like you say, unfortunately, you'll get some children that will be growing up around these adults within these care homes that are forced to do things like this, that then think it's normal going on into their older life.
Yeah,
and then
100%,
yeah. I'm just going to get the statement wrote down before that you became friends with, well, not friends, but you become associates
yeah.
with another child in here.
Yeah, Jackie Murdoch.
Jackie. Murdoch was that?
Yeah.
We had a fight, and it was my first fight. And was that on Christmas Day you had the fight, darling?
No, we fucking had fucking loads of fights, to be honest with you. We fought all the time. Yeah, we fought loads of times. They even stopped my sister coming, my older sister, Aunt Kelly. They stopped her coming to the home because she threatened Jackie one time, and then Kelly battered me in front of Jackie and said, if I can do this to my sister, what would I do to you, basically? So they stopped Kelly coming to the home. The Christmas Day thing was just generally the member of staff, Jackie, it just said that, like, did y'all want to go over to Jackie's dad's house while they made Christmas dinner, so I wasn't just sitting in on my own because all of the young people were with their families. And I said, yeah, because I didn't want to be on my own. And then when we were there,
Was it Jackie Hume, did you say?
Jackie Hume is a member of staff, yeah. I can't remember who else was on. There'd have been 2 members of staff on, but I can just remember Jackie dropping us off.
And did you go to Jackie, your friend's house? Did Jackie drop you off at Jackie
Murdoch? Jackie Murdoch, yeah.
Dropped me at Jackie Murdoch. So, Christmas Day, so I wasn't alone. Can I ask you, when you were there, you said that you did go there, and you said, was it Jackie's dad that was giving this to you then?
Yeah. He said he had another daughter called Gracie, who was like 3, and he said, did I want to go and see her Christmas presents? And then when we went upstairs, he was like, oh, lie down. And then just, like, put his hands down my pants and, like, tried to kiss me and stuff. And then as I kind of went downstairs. But I can always remember her older stepsister singing, I'd do anything for love, but I'd never shag your dad. That's what she would always say to Jackie. So now I'm older, I think he touched fucking everybody, to be honest.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that that's happened to you. And then can I ask you, did that reoccur on a regular basis? Was that when you was at his home?
Yeah, he used to come to the home and to see Jackie, and he would like put money underneath my door, like a fiver, and like squeeze my bum and send me inappropriate messages. But I never wanted to say anything because it was Jackie's dad, really. I didn't want to, and my dad's a paedophile, that's why we were in care in the first place. And I didn't want to, like, I don't know. But then, as I say, my friend Lee had seen messages when we'd been out one day, and she told members of staff, and then they moved Jackie.
Lee. Yeah, So again, you've been impacted in various different ways, even allowing him to come into the care home and things like that. It should be safeguarded then when the staff members obviously shouldn't be allowing any sort of adult to have certain dorms or seeing certain children here. It's not acceptable.
No.
And obviously by this time you understand your mental health is obviously impacted a lot worse.
Yeah. It still messes me up now. I feel like that's one of the reasons why I've, like, after that I've been, like, sexual abuse and stuff like that. I feel like so, it's weird because I feel, I'm not, this has ever gone so weird, but it feels like sometimes that you're just attracted.
Sorry to hear that. And how long was you here still, darling? Were you said 2008 you were here still?
Yeah, and then I was still part of the like care system, and then I moved down here with my sister Laura. But I was still being like under North Ayrshire's care because they wouldn't give me a social worker down here in England. England wouldn't take my case on. So I still had Kate Fitzsimmons. And then Laura actually attacked me in front of a school teacher. Battered me in front of a school teacher. And they left me here still. We told them I was staying with my other sister, Lisa, but I wasn't. I was actually with another. It's weird because I've got two sisters called Laura. One of them not actually my sister, she's my sister Lisa's sister, but I wasn't actually living where I was meant to be living, but I didn't want to go back in the care home, and I didn't want to go back to Scotland because I felt like when I moved down here I completely I just didn't want to go back to any of that, and I certainly wasn't going back in a home. But like even when I was in Seton Terrace, they used to like take me to like people's houses to be like fostered or like adopted, and I'm like, I'm 13 now, I don't want.
And you're a child, that's not acceptable. You pass them out from pillar to the host and go through that. And not only that, it's also the rejection side of things. Take away everything and all the abuse that they've actually done to you, mentally, physically and sexually. It's the how they leave you feeling where you're being dragged from pillar to post and you've been passed to various different places. How do they expect you to have a great curriculum or even a great education or even know right from wrong for having to deal with all of this or even have any sort of support? Even things like hygiene and things like that. You should have been settled down and explained everything to, and unfortunately they have failed you in every single way that they possibly could have. And I can reassure you that we're going to go ahead and get you the justice that you deserve. I will not settle for anything less, especially when you have been impacted and things like this. We will fight it till I'm blue in the face. Now, what we do need to let you know is you can apply for this without a solicitor, and you can instruct a solicitor who participate government legal fee schemes where anything up to £2,000 is paid by the government for legal advice. And most importantly, you can instruct ourselves under a private agreement. Now, we work under no win, no fee. So if your case is unsuccessful for any reason, you won't be charged a single penny. And if the case is successful, at the very end, the solicitors will take 20%, which, for an example, if you got £100,000 back, they will take £20,000 and you would get £80,000. That will reassure you. I know it's not about the money, but it's the only bit of justice we will get. They will not settle for anything less. They will make sure they get every last penny out of them in the fastest time frame to get you that justice that you deserve. So I'm going to go ahead and get this submitted off for you. Now, whilst I'm doing that, I'm also going to bob you a message over on WhatsApp. Now, don't be staying with your sister as well. Do not hesitate to bother me a message. I can't promise I'll get back to you on that second, but I can see your message come through. And as soon as I've got 2 minutes there, I will give you a call straight back and I will get your full case updated for you. So any updates you need, any questions you've got, even if it's just have a quick conversation with myself and get things off your chest, do never hesitate to bother me a message over. I'm here at all times so I can track your claim for you. I'm not the solicitor directly, but I work for the solicitor. So anything you need, you pop me a message and I can update you that way, or I can get you straight through to the solicitor too. Now, if I'm being straight to the point with you, the case will take about 14 days, we say, maximum, for us to get provided back with your application number. Now, once we've got your application number, that's your way of knowing that we're going full steam ahead with it, because they've acknowledged it. We've got your application number, and what we do then is we approach all the local authorities. Now, with yourself, I understand you've been in a few different places here, so what we do is we'll approach each and every one of them and their councils, and we'll get all paperwork that they've ever had on behalf of you. Once we've got that paperwork, they cannot dispute that you was within these places, and they can't turn around and say, oh, this didn't happen to her, or that didn't happen to her. No one can prove anything different. It's your word, and that's what we will make your value of your offer from. So that's why I will reassure you to do my very best to get you all of the justice you deserve, because once we prove that you was in this place, it's our job then to do our best and get you the maximum amount back. Now, again, it would be wrong for me to give you any time frame. We can tell you it'll be a maximum of 12 months. You could be paid out in 6 weeks' time. Not to say that it's not easy to get paid out in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Quite honest with you, that's not the case. But there's not an actual cap on the payout procedure. The maximum time frame will be 12 months. You do know there's a maximum time frame. But, of course, we will try and gain to get that through within a six-month time frame. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah, with me, I've been looking for all this. I watched the podcast on it, and I've heard it told my sister, and I've just literally been waiting because I'm not very...
what a lot of people have been doing as well is basically people's clutching at straws. It took one person to go to court and actually file the claim against them and actually win. And once that
because that's the podcast that I watched.
Oh, well, it gets you quite emotional. That if it's the same podcast, is it about an hour and a half long?
Yeah, it broke my heart, and I sat and watched it, and then I got in touch with my sister the next day, and I said, like, it isn't about the money, but like, I've always thought, like. Like, I went into care at 4-year-old getting told that I was going back home, and I never stayed a day with my mum and my dad again. Like, my dad's just died a couple of years ago, fair enough, wasn't a very nice man. Didn't know anything about him. Like, my
again,
brothers and sisters,
that's not the relationship you've had with him. That's your
Like, they remember him, I don't. So it kind of, like, my sisters are like, oh, well, that's better because you don't remember the bad things. I'm like, yeah, but I remember nothing. Like, I don't remember any, like, they talk about, like, holidays we went on, and dad was actually good, and I'm like, I don't remember none of that. Like, I should have just blocked it all out.
It's something that you're going to miss out on as well. It's something that you've never had, so they've had it to understand that it's not something that they really miss, but you've not had that to say, right, yeah, I'm glad that I've never been in that situation. And you can't, like I say, it's something that you've never had there, so you can't actually be numb to a situation that they've experienced because you've never been through what they've been through to actually have that understanding.
It's been a massive struggle with my own daughter, like, to be honest with you, because sometimes I feel like, I know it sounds stupid because I love her with all my heart, but sometimes I feel like I don't look like, I'm like, do I look like, what is a mother's love like? Because I don't know. So I'm like, is this right?
It makes
you doubt everything, yeah.
What you want to be proud of, you're still here today, you've got your children, in your custody, and what I can let you know is, even just having a conversation with you now, I do understand it is a hard time that you've actually been through, but you are going to be coming through the end of this. And like I say, if there's anything I can do to make your life a little bit easier, make the whole process a little bit easier, even like I say, even if it's nothing to do with this, you've opened a can of worms now by discussing it and you just need a quick conversation, don't hesitate to bother me. A message over at any time. I am very sorry for having to put you through this again, but it has been for obviously a great cause, and we will make sure you do our very, very best to get this submitted off. Now, what I require from yourself, darling, is do you have anything like a driver's license or a passport? Passport, perfect.
Yeah.
Now, if you could open the passport like a book for me, because we'll use any reason to knock it back. So if it's not opened like a book so we can scan both pages, the Scottish Redress won't accept it. So if you could please send over a picture of your ID, which is your passport, and we'd also need a letter. Now, a letter could be any letter dated to you. It just needs to be dated to you in the last 3 months to show your name, address, and the date on there for any check procedure. Is that okay with you?
Yep.
I've just popped you a message over on WhatsApp for you to send that over to me. And what will then happen is you'll get a link that will come through. I'm trying to get it over to you whilst you're on the phone to me right now, but for some reason the signal's been playing up. It might be because I'm on the actual call. Now, you'll get a document that will come through. This will come through on text. It won't come through on WhatsApp. This will be separate. And it will ask you to click on the box. Now, as soon as you click on the box, you give it a squiggle with your finger. And you press a big blue button. That should come through to you now. It's just sent. And you give it a... press the big blue button next to it that says execute documents. Now, that's put your statement on there. But most importantly, it's just to say that you're happy for us to go ahead and take it further. So as soon as I've had that back, I can then put your case straight onto the system for you. And your sisters have been put onto the system today as well. So in the most professional way, once we locate sisters agreements or accounts, we'll locate yours as well, because you'll be all under one kind of scheme. Same way with you. Once we find yours, we'll find sisters. So you should really get your calls around the same time because you've both had it submitted off on the same day. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah.
And if anyone does give you a call, just make sure you use your password as rec. So all I'm waiting from you now is you've had a message sent over on WhatsApp. If you could just get your ID and proof of address sent over to me, that would be perfect. And there's also a text message that's come over to you on your text. You could just load that, fill it in with your finger for me and press the big blue button. That'll be done. And as soon as I've got them back, I will get your case submitted off for you today. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah, perfect.
My sister's just waiting for me to come in, so I'm going to go home.
Do not worry. If there's anything that you need from me, you bob me a message over and I'll look forward to keeping you updated. But like I say, anything that you need, just pop me a message. Even if I'm on another call, I can message you back and say I'll give you a call in 5 minutes' time. Just know that you're not on your own there. And like I say, a problem shared is a problem halved. So anytime you need me, to your advantage, just bob me a message over, darling, all right?
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'll go ahead and do my job. I'll get it all typed up ready for when I get them documents over. And then if there's anything you need, you just pop me a message over, darling, okay?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if my sister's passed on my brother's number, but I know it's something that I was just on the phone doing before you rang, to be honest. I'll send you his number as well.
Yeah, you've got me on WhatsApp there. So once you've spoken to him, let's just say if he's available tomorrow or 3 o'clock today, whenever you've spoken to him, just let me know, bob me a message over and I can give him a call that way. Because it's just easier for me if you bob me a message over with it, because then I can keep you all in the same referral scheme. We do use two now, and he drops me a message 3 weeks down the line. I'll just be like, oh, whose sibling was that again? So just to make sure I've got them all left in there, if you bob it over on WhatsApp, I can keep basically a system file of it then. Is that all right with you?
Yep. No problem. Thank you.
No problem. All right, darling. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Good time.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.